Today's reading begins in Acts chapter 8, verse 9. Acts 8, verse 9. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that any one on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. There is a desert place." And he arose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture he was reading was, "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with his scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. And there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. So where we left off in yesterday's reading, Saul had been the one approving of the execution of Stephen. They had thrown their cloaks at his feet. And this was the beginning of an intense persecution of the church, causing a scattering of the disciples, which also ended up being a spreading of the gospel. So Philip had gone down to Samaria, and he had proclaimed Christ. The crowds listened to him, and people believed, and they became Christians. And this is where we read about Simon. Simon was a magician. He was one that apparently was quite skilled in this deceptive art, so that people paid attention to him. People were amazed by the things that he did. But when the gospel is preached, the people believe, and so did Simon. Now, Simon stands as an example of one who is a new convert in Christ, but being a new convert doesn't mean that automatically all of your previous life is just gone and has no bearing on your future. He still struggles with the same things that were an issue for him before. And so when he sees that the apostles have the power to lay their hands on people and them receive the Holy Spirit, he wanted to be able to do the same thing. And he was thinking in a worldly way, and he offers money that he might also have the power to lay hands on people that they might receive the Holy Spirit. He's rebuked for this. He's told that it was wickedness. And his response is, pray for me, that nothing of what you've said may come upon me. Sometimes people obey the gospel and they still have some of those hang-ups, and we need to be patient with them. Yes, we tell them that it's wrong. Yes, we tell them they need to repent. But we give them that opportunity to do so. We don't just send them packed. Then we read about Philip being sent to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. And this Ethiopian eunuch is traveling along, and he is reading from a passage in Isaiah, and he's wondering about who the prophet is speaking of. This gives Philip an opening that he might speak to him about Jesus, and that's exactly what he does. And when he tells him about Jesus, we don't have all the details of what he told him, but we have some kind of key indicators about it. When he finds out about Jesus, he asks the question, see, here is water, what prevents me from being baptized? Which indicates that he must have spoken to him about baptism, otherwise it would be very strange to ask this question. Now let's pause here for a moment, because if you're reading along with me in the ESV, you'll notice that verse 37 is missing. And if you're reading in the New American Standard, at least in the 1995 version, you probably have verse 37 bracketed. This causes a little bit of trepidation in some people, and let me tell you the reason. There are basically two old manuscripts that are used for translation into our modern English. And there are some very slight differences between those, because they are copies. They are not original manuscripts of, you know, the New Testament. They are copies of copies. But they are the oldest ones that we have and the ones that are most complete, and so that's what is primarily used for translation. Now, depending on which one ends up getting used, you might see some of those differences show up. So one of those between the two is that verse 37 is missing. But before that causes you any concern, just think about, number one, yourself copying something. Maybe you have to go all the way back to school in order to think about copying something, and how it is so easy when copying something to skip a line or to skip a sentence or something along those lines, and then you would realize how easily that mistake could be made. It should not cause us great concern, because when we look at the entirety of the New Testament and the entirety of this passage, The addition of verse 37 does not change anything. It does not contradict anything. It harmonizes with everything else that we read and should be accepted. So Philip makes the good confession, and he is then baptized. He becomes Philip's brother in Christ, and he goes away rejoicing greatly. Again, we shift and we go over to Saul. Saul is on his way to go to Damascus and to continue arresting people that are believers in Jesus Christ. But he is confronted by the Lord with that question, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." He wasn't a believer before, but now he's face to face with the resurrected Jesus, and there's no denying it. Jesus has confronted him. He has been blinded. The other men can hear that something's going on, but they don't see anything the way that Saul does, and they end up leading him by the hand. And then there's this man named Ananias that the Lord tells to go and speak to Saul and to heal him of this blindness. And of course, Ananias is concerned. "I know about this guy. He's been doing terrible things to your believers, your saints." And the Lord tells him, "He is a chosen instrument of mine." And so he goes, he lays his hand on him, and he receives his sight back. He's baptized. He becomes a believer. He becomes a Christian, the one whom he had previously persecuted. And he receives the Holy Spirit. And it says that he stayed with the disciples at Damascus for some time. Imagine the disciples at Damascus. They probably initially reacted like Ananias did. "Hey, I know about this guy." But after talking with him, they would see that he was genuine. They would see that he's sincere. And they would rejoice. For they had once had an enemy, and now they had a brother. That concludes our reading for today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.